Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all indulge in a Chilean wine brought to you by Baron Philippe de Rothschild in their Escudo Rojo Reserva Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, oh, tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. Good evening, Rob. It's good to be here.
It is a lovely night because I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening. And it's been a little bit of a break for us.
Light hiatus. Yeah. Light. Well, they don't know that. I mean, tonight they heard you and I, our California Cabernet series, the first of those. I'm going to mix those in. Tonight was Liberty School.
I feel like Scott just had a moment of PTSD.
Trying to prove that there's a good California designation cab.
Didn't they say, though, that was more Paso?
They said a lot of things.
They said it was wine. You know, they said they did not make it in a toilet.
Allegedly.
Yes. 16 months on oak. Sure. Sure. Sure, you suckles. Anyway.
By the way.
What?
Folks, if anybody has a suggestion for a California designation cab that we should try.
Don't tell us.
Please tell us. No.
Turning Leaf. There's endless ones. It's like a whole... Why? Why would you... Who drinks that stuff? We want to know, folks, is there one that you think is good? Now, mind you...
That's what I'm asking.
You have to put your name to it, because we will call you out. Because when you say Blackstone Cabernet is good, we're going to call that out, and we're going to point out the fact that you said that, and we're also going to state where you're from and what your phone number is and your email address. And everything else about
oh,
you.
Oh, stop.
And we're going to put political signs in your yard.
We are going to do that. Yeah.
From
what?
The former Soviet Empire.
Well, yeah. We passed a couple yards today. We were at a soccer tournament on the other side of town. And there were, I mean, I think the ones here are bad, by us are bad, but there were some houses that had 50.
That's right. But no
50 or more signs.
No Trump. I like the ones that are all Republicans. Every local Republican is running, but not Trump. Yeah, and there are more than that than you'd think.
Yeah. Well, no, I see it quite frequently in the suburbs here.
Except for no more bullshit. I don't want no bullshit. You know what I almost pulled out tonight? But we'll do this next weekend as our second one. No, we can't. We can't do Bogle Petite Sirah.
Yes, we can.
No, you know what we'll do? We'll do a pagan ritual where we destroy the bottle. So, because that's the bottle I drank on election night in 2016.
Oh.
It's bad.
I think you should drink it again.
No. Why?
No. It's no.
To prove that.
What?
It had nothing to do with the wine. And you know it had nothing to do with the wine.
I know. Well.
It had to do with people not going to vote.
That's true. On tonight's show, folks, we have a wine that I'm quasi excited about. It's Chilean, and it's
so
Cabernet.
It's dangerous for us to get our hopes up.
I didn't say I had my hopes up. My hopes actually are somewhat low, considering one big facet of this. Hmm. What wine influence is in Chile and Argentina? French, right?
Viva la France.
Well, tonight we have one of the bigger players in the history of French wine inserting themselves in Chile. Interlopers, basically. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's Baron Philippe de Rothschild. So Rothschild. We'll just call it Rothschild.
It's Rothschild.
Right.
And we visited with an Argentinian Rothschild?
Well, is Los Vascos Rothschild?
Was that the one?
Is that Rothschild or something different? I know Los Vascos is a product of that. But this is Escudo Rojo. And this is their Reserva Cabernet from Maipo Valley. This wine, I think, is obviously it's a little bit better than the Los Vascos. It comes in at $17.99. Mm. It's currently out of stock at wine.com, but that's a very common thing for wine.com.
Oh, easy. Do you want to share?
No, because people would buy it. I don't want anybody to know. Nothing. Actually, there are some cool things in stock right now. They're doing much better, and they're shipping things.
There are some bottle limits.
There are some bottle limits, but that's not important.
Well, I'm just saying there's some bottle limits, but mm-hmm. we have seen some more availability.
But I haven't seen those things that you're referring to ship yet. So as soon as they ship, we'll
I would
see.
Say the name of the wine, but no. I know Rob would just edit it out.
Let me rephrase that. They have shipped, but they shipped out of the California warehouse. So they'll be here next Friday. Now, there might be other things that arrive between now and then, but I have nothing to do with those things. Those are things that have been in the queue. They were
Let's
in my queue.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Let's do that. So the Escudo Rojo.
So, Scott.
By the way, the Los Vascos is Domaine Baron de Rothschild.
Oh, is
Lafitte.
It? Oh, it's Lafitte.
It's Lafitte.
Ah, that's
so
different.
That's different.
So this is
Philippe.
This is competition. Los Vascos, that's Chilean, though. It's not Argentinian, right?
Chile.
Yeah, so that is the competition. Not very good competition, I would hope, because Los Vascos
was bad.
Is not very good. Los Vascos, their base cab, although their 18 might be better, is a little bit weedy. The nose on their Grand Reserva, which is comparable to this in price, high teens, was atrocious, but the wine itself was very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Becky?
You don't want to.
I do want to know.
I do want to
know. So I was greatly. Just going to bring up, so part of the reason why we had a brief hiatus is because we were on vacation.
True.
And then Scott was on a vacation. So when we went on vacation, Rob had said that he really wanted to go to Total Wine, which is a huge, for those of you that don't live near one, it's like I don't know what you would even call it, warehouse, wine warehouse?
Yeah, it's a wine shop, big wine shop.
It's huge.
It's bigger than a wine shop.
It's a mega shop.
Yeah, it's enormous. And you can find sometimes...
A party store. If you live in a state with a party store, think of it as a party store. That's what
it's
is.
Just, we don't have anything like that.
No,
here.
Not Ohio. I don't think it's legal in Ohio in some fashion to do that. I don't know why. No one has ever bothered doing... I mean, why? I know that they probably have to follow state minimum prices, but they are not allowed to operate in the state of Ohio.
Total Wine.
Yeah.
But isn't it similar to the scale of the place in Cincinnati?
Jungle Gyms?
Jungle Gyms.
Jungle Gyms size, but Jungle Gyms is far more varied.
Grocery.
Yeah,
they've
so
got other things.
Yeah,
but their wine area is huge, right?
I wonder if there's something about percentage of sales can't be.
Could be
like 30% of your sales can't be.
But it's so on your trip, Rob spent some time there.
So Rob and I talked before. So longtime listeners might remember last year when we went to the beach. That Rob abandoned me in our condo with our three small children for like 5 hours to go to Total Wine.
You know, he wants to make sure that he spent his time wisely so that he wouldn't be ridiculed.
Do you tell them what you were doing there?
Oh, I had to use the restroom. But nevertheless.
But.
You get sensory overload. I get sensory overload when I go in there. Not to say that they have a lot of stuff because it is Samuel Robert Winery in 10 different places, or Des Autrefois. You get the reserve Des Autrefois there. So there's a little bit of that issue with them.
They shock and awe moment.
Well, if you're going in there, you say, I want to buy some Bordeaux. You're going to have a little bit of it's going to be overwhelming for you because the one thing that they do pretty well is 100 and below Bordeaux. So you get a little bit of a...
Big selection.
It's a little overwhelming. So you're like, and especially for me, I'm like a dog trying to sit down whenever I'm picking out wine. It doesn't matter if it's for the show or if I'm buying it. Wine.com makes it very easy because you don't see it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. But if you see it on the shelf, I'm like circling. And I... This
he wants
time,
to
though,
touch it. He wants to so touch it. He wants to put it in his cart. How many bottles did you put in your cart that had to be put back that you didn't purchase?
Not much. Two, maybe.
Okay.
So we talk about a money budget, but when Rob goes to Total Wine, it is much more a time budget.
It is. This year, though, I did much better.
You did. You did much better because you had, like, researched and plotted and planned.
Well.
However, Rob also hit up several other wine shops.
Two.
two, and one of them three. Twice.
Well, one that's a liquor store.
And
it's a liquor store.
Scott, let me finish telling you this part of the story. So on our last night
in town,
Robin Henry went out to get our food for dinner.
I did.
And me and William and Luke, I guess, were probably just like packing and showering and whatever. So we come back and we're eating, and Henry, in the middle of dinner, says something like, "Dad left me in the car for 25 minutes in a parking lot."
Oh, that's bullshit.
And I'm like,
I was in there for 30 seconds, literally. I walk in, get two bottles, buy it, leave. That's it. That's so ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What happened is,
So you left your son in the car with the car running for the getaway?
At a liquor store.
You robbed it?
It's a fine wine establishment. It's called Pavilion Liquor. But they have a big one. Actually, in South Carolina, you cannot sell high proof and wine in the same shop. You have to have it separated. And port cannot be sold with wine because it's too high of alcohol. So you have a wine store. Literally, it would be owned under the same company, but you have one store is liquor and port, and the other is all wine and beer. They have to be, Total Wine has two separate buildings, and you can't like go in between them. You have to go out
and in.
Yeah.
Well, remember, it wasn't that long ago that the bars in Myrtle Beach, you could only buy airplane bottle liquors.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted a shot that had three things, you had to buy all three bottles.
That's true.
Get your little
crazy
drink on.
But nevertheless,
the rules
folks
are so.
Yeah. I know. And, so, but we do have rules in the show. And one
of
those.
Speaking of those rules, did he break the rules? Did he, his shopping extravaganza, did he take one of the children with him?
I offered.
He didn't take any of them.
Uh-huh. I offered. I offered to take them. And they said, "Go away, Dad." So, folks, we're going to take a break. They don't want to go wine shopping with me. And be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the Escudo Rojo from Baron Philippe de Rothschild in France. The Reserva Cabernet. Some facts and figures about this wine. It is aged 1 year. It's aged in 1 year old oak barrels for 6 to 8 months before bottling. That's really complicated. But nevertheless, 10% new oak, 90% 1 to 2 year old oak barrels.
1 year old
oak barrels for 6 to 8 months before bottling. But that's not,
what does
matter.
That really mean?
Well, then they kind of changed that by saying 10% new oak and 90% of that 1 to 2 year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nobody describes a barrel like that.
Well, probably also this website is translated, and so much of it gets so confusing. When it translates like word by word, it's very hard.
Well, this is only in English. This is 100% Cabernet, although they note that under Chilean law, only 75% of it needs to be Cabernet to be Cabernet. But it's 100% Cab, which I like.
I've seen that. You know, we've talked about it before. It's also very interesting to me that it's so heavily French influenced, mm-hmm. and they're like, it's fine. If 75% of it is Cab and you want to call it a Cab, it's fine. You would never see the French.
That's true.
Doing that.
Tasting notes, black currant, spices, intense, fruity. That's what they wrote. Deep ruby red with a purple tint.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, why not?
It looks the part.
It does look the part.
It does.
Speaking of looking the part, though, we have a couple reviews for this wine. Well, more than that, three reviews. We'll throw it over to Triple P, who's going to read a couple of these, but then save the best for last.
Do you want me to read Michael Schachner's?
Michael Schachner's, yes, who's been...
It sounds like a weird William Shatner, like, yes, knockoff name.
Are you related to William Shatner? No, I am not. He gets probably, he becomes a dick about it.
Yeah.
He gets like, no.
Oh, it's Schaffner.
I'm not Schaffner. I'm Schaffner. Don't be an asshole. My name is Michael Schaffner. I review for the Wine Enthusiast.
Is that where it's from?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So his review says, spicy berry aromas are gritty like asphalt, while this feels tight and bold with bright acidity. Spicy red plum and berry flavors come with a peppery note, with herbal hints adding complexity to the finish.
Strangely enough, Michael Schaffner was a skateboarder and then has bit it a couple times, and that's how he knows what asphalt tastes like.
It's helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think it just is gritty like asphalt. We're not getting an asphalt flavor, right?
I'm shredded, man. Oh, I fucked it up. His face is just like a cheese grater. He's a very ugly man.
And then, which review do you want me to read?
You know which one. Venice.
So, Michael Schaffner gave it a what?
89 of his points.
89. Venice gave it a
90. Yes.
A Cabernet from Buin, Mapo, Maroon, and Collar. It offers a ripe nose of cassis, kirsch, and menthol. Fleshy with firm tannins and a juiciness brought on by well-judged acidity. Pleasant finish.
And that is from the hallowed halls of Venice.
And there's that fleshy, firm tannins again.
That's right.
That's kind of a disgusting phrase.
Well, it is. It's just like pretty and satisfying. What's wrong with that? Because I'm James Suckling, of course, and I reviewed this wine because it's Chilean.
We miss you, James.
They put a sticker on the label, which the Triple B I know loves.
They did?
Yes, of course.
What's the sticker say?
It has the number I gave it. And I gave this wine, of course, 93 of my points. I was very excited. I said, 91 or 2 just won't do. This has to be 93. And they put it on a sticker and put it on the label. And
serious question.
Ooh. For me? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think he gave this a 93?
Me, I gave it a 93.
Yes. Right. You gave it a 93, yes. And then they had the stickers made? Or do you think they were like, we have this surplus of 93 stickers. Where can we put them? And he was like, okay, fine.
My name is written on it. Well, you mean other wines I've given 93s to?
And these were like surplus
stickers. They go ahead. They print off my scores. They just assume. That's just ridiculous. I am fair and balanced. I have a great deal of integrity.
You're balanced, all right.
What would you give me? What would you do? What would I do for a dollar? Anything. Anyway, impressively fresh and upbeat fruit that runs from dark cherries to berries in ripe dark plums. The palate
impressively fresh.
Has a very fresh and attractive core of plush fruit flavor with long, seamless run of silky, fresh tannin. 93 of my points. All of them.
Yes. James, did you ever have the opportunity to meet Baroness Philippine de Rothschild?
Oh, many times. I've dined with them in France.
This would be Philippine.
Philippine, yes.
Philippe's
there too.
Daughter.
Oh, no, Philip.
She's a fetching woman.
I wouldn't worry about that. I'm not allowed in France anymore, though, because of a bureaucratic misunderstanding of sorts. It involved me not wearing pants.
All right, let's see the nose. Oh,
yeah, yes, in the glass, folks.
What if...
What?
Borat did meet James Suckling.
Oh, my God.
You'll be big success. It basically is. I've made James Suckling into Borat. Yeah,
That's awful and true.
Kind of. He is kind of the Borat of wine reviewing, isn't he?
Well,
me make big success. Me do wine review. Yes.
The nose on this reminds me of another wine we've had. There's something very distinct about it that is a familiar nose to me.
It's blackberry and cherry.
Yeah, there's something else in there that I'm like,
rather subdued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's I don't know. To me, it is this familiar smelling nose.
It's a very muted black licorice. Very muted.
Hmm. Was one of the reviews saying there was menthol on the nose?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think there is.
And it's you know, we don't often see it as much as we once did, but we were on a roll there where mentholated alcohol was all we would get on the nose.
Because we were drinking crap.
Yeah. This does have a bit of
there's mentholated alcohol.
A little bit of a Vicks vapor rub.
Well, yeah. So, and it's getting to be cold and flu season, so that's why they...
You would just put a little bit of this underneath your nose when you go to bed at night. Spread it on your chest.
That's right.
Or you just drink it.
You could do that, too.
Ready?
They added that in my review.
It's not
what
the most impressive nose.
I remember one time it was Tim Atkins and I, and we had a whole jug of vapor rub, and it was such a sensual night. And I read later you're not supposed to use vapor rub in that fashion. It's
are
awkward.
You gonna taste the wine?
It was an awkward Tuesday morning. That's all I can say.
But it was.
It was.
How long did the burning take to stop?
It's never stopped, but that's from another problem. So.
I've tasted it.
Have you? Mm-hmm. It's a little... It's a lot weightier than a lot of the Chileans we've done. It's more upscale. It's full bodied. First of all, let's just start off with that premise: full bodied, weighty.
It's pretty dense.
Absolutely
long too.
Mm-hmm. Long,
relatively speaking.
Yeah, I mean it has length. I'm not sure that it's. On the first sip, it's wildly expansive, but it's long. Nice spice oak running through the whole thing. And the oak is present. However, it doesn't become overpowering at any...
It's really well-oaked.
It is well-oaked.
It's well-oaked.
Mm. Well,
I think it's easy to say that.
Well, you taste a sweet woodiness on the palate, but then it dissipates and it blends back into the wine. I'm not sure. I don't think, though, that I would... peg this as Chilean. If I was blind tasting it, I don't
think
I would.
Where would you place it?
Washington.
Would you place it as a cab?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a cab. Yeah. All day long. It's very true to cab. Now, what it isn't really particularly is really true to the French style.
Well, but it's dry.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
I take back a little bit of the Washington. But I don't think I would, you know, Sonoma. It's a little Sonoma-esque. Good Sonoma-esque.
Yeah, I would say Cali and not Washington.
Almost,
it doesn't have that Washington beastie savory thing
jazz
that we
love.
Well,
also, well, you love. It's not. Doesn't
you love it too.
You know what it reminds me a little bit of? It almost has the weight of an Alexander Valley grape. Hmm. The broodiness of it.
I was going to say the broodiness of it, I think, would really throw me off on where it's from. I think that would be very challenging for me. And I think that would almost steer me out of the varietal just because it's so... I had that same word in mind. It's very dense and it's very broody cab. And I think that would make me be like, is this, I don't know, something crazy from somewhere else. Like maybe like a, I don't know. The coloration of it's very dark too.
Well, you might think it's a Bordeaux blend. Maybe not 100% cab. But it's got to be cab based. When you quaff it, it almost gets into a little bit of a Napa-esque quality too. Somewhere in that realm.
I'm not really getting anything vegetable. Are you?
No. Not whatsoever.
And that's kind of the thing. It's so refined. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a refined wine.
Yeah.
You would not think about, oh, this might be from South America. You start spending money, you're not going to notice the same Chilean things that you're going to see. I would say the Chilean charm, like the Apatagua and whatnot show. But
I like that, the Chilean charm.
That's there you go. That's a nice way of saying green pepper.
There's one thing that. It's not a flaw. I just don't necessarily care for it. There's just a touch of sweet fruit there that I just wish wasn't there.
But that's where you're getting the Cali aspect to it. But it's not sweet. I would just say It's cassis. It's a little bit of blackberry.
In there, there's some sweet fruit
It's not sweet.
Caring for.
Something that I think that we have maybe done a little bit of on the wine vault.
It's a good cab.
I was thinking about earlier today is I think at times we treat Argentina, Chile, other South American wines as almost like a knockoff handbag.
Fair enough.
And the vegetalness, it's like, oh, that's how you can tell this isn't a real Chanel bag, or this is how you can tell it's not a real Louis Vuitton. And I kind of hate that because the wines are good. They're getting so much better, and there are really quality wines to be found in South America. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a great example of it, that you're not – and it sounds so bad, but you can't tell that it is South American. But I almost wish I wasn't saying that, you know, because it's like
we need to stop being surprised that a South American wine tastes like this.
It's not a knockoff of French wine. It's not a knockoff of somewhere else. They are their own winemakers in their own right, and this is just a really beautiful display of that.
Well, I'm sure the winemaker is a Frenchman, but still, you know, forgetting all that fact, but this is. Honestly, in the budget realm, under $20, this is the best Cabernet I've had from Chile.
Yeah.
On the show.
It is a very
That's very surprising.
That this is so full bodied mm-hmm. and so dense at under $20. It really is.
This is luxurious to a certain extent mm-hmm. too. And in that price range, you're like, wow. It's obviously once again out of stock because other people realize that. If I sat down at the top, Scott, or we did, and we had a bottle of this, that'd be a good night. And we've had great wines there, but this would be right there with them.
This would be so good with a huge steak and a twice-baked potato. Yep. Yes. Oh, my gosh, it would be so good.
I think if someone said, Rob, what does this cost? I'd say mid-30s.
Yeah.
I think fair. I was going to say 40. I was going to ask the same question.
That's double priced.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's in that Alexander Valley realm. Kind of not as good as Ferre Carano's Cabernet, but it reminds me of it.
Okay.
And I like that wine. That also is something that I enjoy a lot. Maybe too much.
No, this deserves a nice piece of beef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What would your sides be? No diet, no keto. What would your sides be?
Oh, no. Oh, mushroom risotto.
There you go. I like that. I'm a sucker for keto or no keto. I love cream spinach. And I think it's underdone mm-hmm. with steaks. I think it's just fantastic.
It's so good.
This wine would carry the cream sauce for the cream mm-hmm. spinach so well. And I think the spinach would complement the steak wine combination.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. That's a great point. Like I said, that twice baked potato, I'm just imagining like the steak juice and the potato and that. I mean, it would just be a lovely. Asparagus would be great too.
The fattiness of the ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Maybe a little Stilton on top.
I can picture the meal with the wine so well, and it would be a lovely evening.
Yeah. That you know, we got to slow down because these are really high superlatives for this wine. It's doing, I mean, in the superlatives right now, because we have not written down what we think we all...
Oh, yeah.
And we will do that right now, but...
It's too late. We should have done it before we started.
We are still going to do it, Scott.
Okay.
Now, I know Scott's going to be a douche. All right, I've written down my numbers, my guesstimations as to what they will do. But this is, and I agree, to explain what Becky said earlier. No.
Ho.
No, to agree with what Becky said earlier. Succinctly put, Scott has not made 2 cents tonight, but Becky made $1.50. We do say that South American wines, well, we're like, oh, it's like... You're pretty. You know, it's like one of those, oh, you know, you're a pretty girl, but you don't really mean it, kind of thing. I don't say that to anybody, mind you. That's actually a bad analogy.
It's often like you're good despite all of these
things. Yes. It's like, you did a great job. Here's a participation trophy. But, we should do that for, you know, Ohio wines or anything with Austin Hope wines.
But to be fair,
the participation trophy for them would be ticking.
But to still. Be fair, we've had a lot of bad South American wines.
But recently, how many have we
not
had?
Not recently.
We've had a lot of not bad recently. Wines.
We've had a lot of bad wines, period, yes.
Well, yes, but and we had a lot of bad wines that displayed that vegetal thing. That's why we have that poor stereotype of Chilean and Argentinian wines. Mm-hmm. But we should stop it.
We should. I mean, you think about, though, in the last couple of years, just the evolution. Think Los Vascos, very... because you were suggesting it was a Zinfandel, even though they don't make Zinfandel.
Yeah,
but it was lean and weedy. And they've gotten away with that. I've gotten away from that to a certain extent. And they're not really... I mean, this is a good year. What is the 18 vintage, you look across the board, is just phenomenal for Chile. Hopefully, they continue because... the value there is amazing.
Well, but, you and Becky have gone on a little journey there.
I've never been there.
No, but I think that
we drank a lot of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Shut.
Garage.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's some. Well, that's the thing. Now there are boutique wines, and that's cool. That's fun. You're only going to see them periodically available, but when you do, you snatch a few up because they're fun. They're special.
They're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to keep my eye out for this one. I mean, it's out of stock now, but they'll probably get it back.
Yeah.
And at $17.99, you have a couple bottles of this there.
Yeah.
You're never going to be disappointed. And quite frankly, this is not a Tuesday night wine. This is a night. Yeah. This is a wine where, you know what? I want to surprise somebody coming over.
Uh-huh.
I know something they don't know.
Of course, that's you're looking at. No, you're sharing something special with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I do think that this could stand a little time in the bottle. I think it might, a couple years might even make it better.
I think so. I mean, yeah, holding it back for a year and a half or 2 years, short term.
Short term.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's another question for you.
Mm.
How well received do you think this is going to be by the masses? To me, it feels approachable. It's a pretty full-bodied cab. But I feel like if you like a full-bodied cab, you would like it. But what do you all think?
Yeah.
Well, not the rubes that drink box wine, but I mean...
Or if you're
a proper wine drinker.
Oh, yeah.
19 Crimes crowd. Maybe they would like it. This would...
You give up on them.
Well, there's always hope.
People that buy, you know, if they go out and buy the Camus drinkers of the world, I mean, that kind of stuff, if they tasted this, they would go out and buy a couple of cases.
Lovely.
Yeah, I think if you...
If you like Camus, I'm not saying this is Camus, mind
it's
you.
It's not as smooth. It doesn't have that mouthfeel. It's not as...
But it's
at good.
A fraction of the price.
Fraction of the price. What was it, $18?
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. And if you consider your house wine around a $17, $18 wine, this is what you need to buy cases of because it's that good. It has the body. And that's the one thing we always have to do trade-offs in this price range.
Yeah.
We have to say, it's medium-bodied, you know? It's a medium body cab. We have to be happy with that.
Medium.
Yeah.
How many times have we said that?
There's no compromising, though, here in this bottle.
No. And I'm going to give you what that sweet taste is. It's fig. There's fig in there.
There is fig.
There's fig in there.
Which is kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Let's go around the room. Let's get all the flavors that we taste.
Well, something that we
haven't... I'm going first. I'm going fig.
Something that we haven't yet touched on are the tannins.
Yes.
They're really nice.
And when you said that it's something that we sometimes have to compromise on, that's something that we'll sometimes say like, oh, the review said there were tannins, and then we actually drank it, and there weren't any tannins. We've read that 1,000 times.
Million.
But this is so nice to see. And it, we don't, I feel like, especially in this price range, you are not often finding a wine that checks all the boxes.
True.
And it really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The oaking.
The oaking, spot on. The tannins are great. And full-bodied. It's dense. It's broody. Like, all of those things you want in a cab. At this price point, that is very unusual to find something that checks so many boxes.
It's very true.
I don't want to be critical, but can you think of one that this is missing?
You know, it's not transformative. It doesn't have this incredible mid palate, but it's an $18 wine.
Well,
you know, it's not. The mouth feels fine. I'm not criticizing the mouth feel. It's fine.
I would say that's maybe the one criticism. It's not super elevated, but it's also, there's nothing to be ashamed of with it at all.
No, it's and you know, as I've had more of this, it's not as long as I first thought. That first draw on it seemed incredibly long to me, and now it's just not. The finish is
the finish is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, it's perfectly acceptable, but it's not long.
It's long enough. I don't really think. I mean, you know.
Well, you would say that.
Well, you know, I know that you have a little bit of a short temper about those type of things, but trying to leave your personal experiences at the door when you come into the wine vault, let's just say. But
short temper.
I'm talking about you having a small dick, just in case you didn't understand.
Funny. So are we going to do flavors or what are we?
Yeah, let's do flavors.
Okay.
Triple B goes first.
Okay, blackberry.
And we're going this way.
I'm saying fig.
You already said fig. No. Nope.
I knew that. I should have said fig.
You're going fig.
I said fig.
I said fig. You have to do something different.
No.
You don't know anything besides fig, do you? You can say Newton. Good night.
I don't care for Fig Newtons, though, is the thing.
But nobody likes Fig Newtons. They're nasty.
But they don't taste like fig.
What is that breading on the outside? What is that?
Like, it's just shortbread? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be shortbread.
Well, it'd be better if it was crispy, but it's not. Do they even sell Fig Newtons anymore?
I'm sure they do. I think they're for people that
are incontinent.
No, I was going to say, like, have digestive problems.
Right,
like, need some extra fiber.
Or, like, if you're going to give your dog a pill, you put it in a Fig Newton.
And they're also, like, pretty gummy. Yeah. So if your, like, teeth aren't great, I don't know.
It's basically if you're dead. Here's a cookie, motherfucker.
No, even if you're dead, you're like, they've spit it out.
Just wait for Rob's next birthday when we get him some Fig Newtons. Well,
they make it in a log, and then they cut it. I mean, it's just like, no. Yeah. The strawberry Newtons, I remember, were more palatable because figs are gritty, at least the shit that they did.
Yeah.
I feel like those were made with like strawberry jam.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, my parents would buy those as kids. I'm like, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. You don't love me as a child.
They probably had some kind of market that they were like healthy because they're a fruit cookie. I feel like that for sure could have passed in the 80s. Don't you?
Yeah, and I want a double stuffed for Oreos. Just give me fucking double stuff. Eat a package of those fuckers.
There's a dark cherry.
Oh, Scott, I said fig. Scott hasn't said anything yet.
I said fig first. As soon as you said we're going to talk about flavors, I said fig.
But we started over again. Here we go.
What are you getting in the... One of the reviewers said something about, herbal hints.
Nah, baby, nah. I don't get that.
I
don't get that.
I don't know what Kirsch is.
Not quite smoky with the oak.
That's what I was saying.
Headed that way.
I was going to say slightly smoked
it's
oak.
Headed
Are you just trying to tick off Scott?
No, that's what I was thinking. I didn't know that he thought, but in general. Well, you know, Spider-Man is up there. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I found him laying on the floor down here. There's toys everywhere. These kids are like, this is our playroom now.
Yeah, they are.
Get your ass out.
It's so nice when I can be like, shut the door. I know.
And there's like just a little bit of glass and shit down here.
All right.
Luke just likes to open up wine things. He came and brought me a bottle of Uberuth one time.
Well, he knows he has discerning taste.
Yeah, he has good taste, yeah. No, Kirsch, yeah.
What is Kirsch?
I know what it tastes like. Mm. It tastes, think of it as like heavy, really intense black currant kind of blackberry kind of thing, maybe with a little, even like a little bit of a black licorice strap to it. Okay. I mean, I've seen Kirsch liqueurs and stuff like that.
Kirschwasser, or Kirsch, is a clear, colorless brandy traditionally made from double distillation of Morello cherries, a dark-colored cultivar of the sour cherry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see that in this, for sure.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You said black cherry, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Was it black cherry that you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. A black cherry liqueur or something like that, for sure. Mm-hmm. A brandy. I could see that.
Yeah. And nice mid-length tannin. And they're proper, too. They're not one of these things that are just like a whiff. It has a nice, somewhat grippy, but not oppressive tannin. And they're on the finish. They don't jump in too early and make the wine astringent. This wine isn't astringent.
It's not. It's not as dry as we first thought either.
It's dry.
It's dry, but it's not. It's not as dry as we first thought.
It's as dry as we first thought, Scott. You don't think. That's the problem.
I do think.
No, you don't.
Similar to the finish, not being as long as we thought. It's not quite as dry as we
thought. As long as you thought. You think these things. Nobody else thought that.
Oh, you said it was long, too. You're such a baby.
I'm so interested in how everyone scores this.
I will say I would go back to more Washington as I've drank more of it.
You would?
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Washington or Sonoma?
Yeah, Washington or Sonoma.
It would be very hard to get past the idea of Washington because of the body of it. Very, very hard.
The way it's presented and that blackberry dark fruit, the way it's presented, all screams of Washington. There's a wink of jazziness, but it's not too bad.
I have no idea how I would get to South America. I have no idea.
Boy, you'd have
to. I know I would miss it.
I have not tasted many, and I've tasted a lot of South American Cabernets, but I haven't tasted any that quite do this. And in different ranges, too. I mean, think of this. Even Argentina. The closest one that was similar to this was the Mascota, and that's Argentinian. That was a little bit like this. I recall that. In its size, this is better. This is a more complete wine than that, by far.
You know what this is? It's satisfying.
Yes.
It really is satisfying. Yep. It's not spectacular, but as Becky said, it checks all the boxes.
I mean,
it's just a satisfying wine and shocking at the price point. It's really surprising. I want to put this glass of wine in front of somebody, and they say, "Oh, that's in the teens."
No,
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Just by the body alone,
I don't buy it.
No,
I would say $40, and I don't think I would be upset at all about spent $40.
There's a lot of $40 bottles of wine I've had that I wish tasted like this.
And even if somebody tastes it and it's good, and they're like poo pooing it, it's in the 20s. You're still wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you'd still be off by $10. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many, honestly, there's so many different bottles of wine I've opened that I was hoping would taste just like this.
Yeah.
You know? And guess what? They don't taste like this. But wine, though, does taste a little bit like this is Coppola's Director's Cut, Alexander Valley Cabernet.
Okay.
That's high 20s. I don't know about every vintage, but the last vintage I had, I don't recall what it was, 16 or whatever, it was a little bit like this. This is better than that, and I like that a lot. And I hate Coppola, but I like that one. He makes one wine that I like, and it was that, because it's Alexander Valley, and I'm a show for that. I mean, how many of those Clos du Bois, Alexander Valley Cabernets did I buy? I loved every single drop of it, but this is better than that. Just is. It's a better wine.
Okay.
Bigger wine, you know. So, folks, we're going to take a break because then we'll come back here on the Wine Bowl. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to go around the room and I'm going to ask a simple question.
Okay.
In your memory, what was the worst wine drinking experience you ever had? It could be because of the company. No, let's not do that. Because of the wine.
Mm. Yes.
What was that? Could be the restaurant you ate at and drank it at. Could be the fact you drank Stella Rosa or Austin
Hope. I'm having a hard time because even when we've had bad wines, like we've had a good time making fun of them.
That's true.
Let me think.
You can go over to Scott. He's not burdened with that. No. Or maybe he is. He's tried. See, I don't know.
Went to a friend's house for game night. It's during the renovation of the current house, and Princess was staying with a friend during the week because it was the best plan. So it's weekend, and
it's her plan. But
we're gonna go hang out with her friend that she'd been staying with and have a game night. Like, don't worry about it. Don't bring anything. And I worked after work on the house and got there about 8 or 9. And they're all in. They're ready to go. And I'm ready to have...
Mm-hmm. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm. All that was in the house was 19 crimes.
Mm. I'll get you sober.
And I drank it. It was miserable. It got me where I wanted to go, but oh, it was miserable. And the worst part about it is,
you drank enough to actually get drunk?
I had to act like I liked it.
Yeah.
Why?
Because this person, this is her go-to. Oh, isn't it good? Don't you love it? So, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Scott,
oh, yeah.
That's where you have the opportunity to be a dick.
I don't do
I know
that.
Rob would always take that opportunity. I think mine would be I had gone to watch The Bachelor, and there was some
bad ones.
Wine that was never good. I'm sure it was like some kind of Barefoot something, and it had been open for like a couple of weeks in the fridge, and I think they were making like wine spritzers, and I felt like I had to have something, so I think I had like a little plastic punch cup of it. But I feel like that was, I've had that experience multiple times. So I would say something like that, like old crappy wine.
Mine recently, I scored some half bottles of J. It's the letter J. They're Monterey, Sonoma, and wherever, Pinot Noir. Yes, that does sound, folks, like Naomi's blend, but let's just forget that for the moment. They have a Pinot Noir, and they're a good sparkler producer. And they make Pinot Noir as well. And anyway, these Pinot Noirs, I bought like 4 of them, you know, and it was, hey, it was $8, I think, for a half bottle. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. If it's bad, it's bad. It's not bad. But what I found is, on this last bottle I opened, apparently I had it laying on its side. I mean, it's a screw top. All right. But wine had leaked past the screw top.
Uh-oh.
It was, yeah. And I'm thinking, you always hear the wives' tales of the bullshit that, oh, screw top, it'll never be bad.
It'll never go bad.
It never can go bad.
Yeah.
Well, what if it was canned by a pikey? Yeah, you know? I mean, so I thought... That's just not good. So I poured a little bit in a bourbon glass to smell it to make sure it hadn't turned into, vinegar. And it hadn't. But I had out the... I bought new Pinot glasses, Riedel Extreme Series Pinots. That was one of the liquor store or wine stores I went into. I'll tell you that in a second. But and so I wanted to drink it out of the glass, and I drank it anyway. I drank not the whole. Let's just say I did not drink the whole half bottle. The rest of it went in the garbage, because even though I had the sniff test, it was originally approved. It was, you know, it needed some mozzarella and some tomato to go on to. I think ultimately, yeah, that was disappointing. So down in Myrtle Beach, I don't go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like you should save that for another potpourri.
I should, but I'm briefly going to tell it. Wine shop, it wasn't Total Wine. It was my second expedition, because I had to buy port for Phil. Anyway, Shakespearean Phil. So I go in there, and the lady, it was a wine shop that had, you know, some good stuff. Maybe not all that interesting stuff, but like the, you know, your stock expensive California stuff.
Okay.
Not a lot of inexpensive stuff. Pretty much it started off about 35 and went up to 150. And I'm thinking, you don't have a lot of foot traffic because you don't have a variety. But she goes, are you familiar with Conundrum Red? And I went, I said, I'm actually quite schooled in the Wagner series of products, and I'm not a fan. And that...
Did you really say that?
I did say that. And she's like, oh. But I said...
Did you ask her if she had Bonanza?
Obviously. And I said, but... I said, from my memory, that was his ex-wife that he cheated on, and he lost that. So perhaps it's better now. That's what I did.
What'd she say?
She does not have the facts and information that I have. She's like, oh, really? I went, yes.
Everybody knows that story.
No, they don't. Nobody knows that story. I know it because I heard it at a wine shop.
She
owns a wine shop but doesn't know. Anyway, I didn't buy any wine there, mind you. Oh, initially. But I was walking around, and I saw on this end cap, they had Riedel Extreme glasses. Tons of them. Pinot and Cabernet. And they were asking $12.99 a glass.
And what do you normally see them retail for?
About $25 a piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're Venom series, but they're a little bit different. They may be a touch less expensive, because I don't think they're as popular because the stems are so damn tall. And I said, for real, these are $12.99 a piece? She goes, yes. I went, you understand they cost a lot more than that, right? She goes,
did you say that?
Yeah. I don't know where she got them from, but she's like, oh, well, that's just what we're charging. I went, okay, I guess I'll buy some then from you at this discounted price, you crazy person. And I felt bad about it because, you know, they could charge $15 they could charge more. And I was going to text you and say, do you want any glasses? But I didn't.
I know.
Because you're sitting there thinking, I would have bought. You would have, wouldn't you? You
perhaps.
Probably would have. A cab, yeah. Merlot, and Pinot. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I thought about that, but I didn't do it.
No. Didn't ask if I wanted any port either.
Bootleggers. We had a lot. I didn't have enough space in the car to carry more.
We didn't.
That being said, Phil, in a drunken stupor, I was in a drunken stupor that night, said, I'll pay you $5. Just give me $100 worth. I didn't remember because he had to carry me to my bed that night, but it's not important. So anyway, I bought that, and then I bought a half bottle of Siduri Pinot there to drink it out of. So, interesting. So now the Schatzweisel glasses have been retired to auxiliary.
Schatzweisels are fine.
Yes, but now they're on auxiliary, and now these are the new Wine Vault Pinot glasses.
I see. That was the Sidura.
Fine. Yeah. By the way, you always need auxiliary Pinot Noir glasses. Maybe we'll just do Nebbiolos out of those. So, folks, we're going to take a break, because then we'll come back and review the Escudo Rojo here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Escudo Rojo from Baron Philippe de Rothschild from Chile.
Philippine.
What Rothschild.
The Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon, 2018 vintage. We're going to go around the room, and we're going to start off with the Triple B.
Okay. So this definitely exceeded my expectations. I feel like I had tried to keep them very low, but it definitely did. And as we discussed, it's not really lacking in any category. But something I was sitting here thinking about is we've had wine that checks all the boxes, but it's not fun to drink, or it's not a really enjoyable drink. This is. This, we all immediately went to enjoying a dinner at a nice steakhouse, envisioning what we were going to have. This is a nice wine that I am looking forward to having again. Uh-huh. And that's not always said. Sometimes we'll have a nice bottle of wine that I'm like, I know that this is nice, but I honestly don't care if I drink it again or yeah. not. This is not the case. I can't wait to drink it again. It's honestly an exciting wine to have. And that is, again, really encouraging. When you have had as much wine as we have had and something feels exciting, that is great. I mean, that is really an unusual thing, and I am just really thrilled about it. So I was debating mentally 89.90, but when I thought about how much I was looking forward to having this wine again and envisioning the meal, I thought that's a 90 wine. And so that's my score, and really, really recommend, and just major congratulations, tip of the hat to this winery. And I feel like I almost want to say thank you for making this, because it has just been, it really has been that's a cool. nice treat to have this evening.
We'll send Baron Philippe Rothschild right. a thank you.
I'll send him a Starbucks gift card. But I mean it. I mean it. It is very, very nice. And it
five,
just is a
$5 level. Gift card, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Your next latte's on me. Yeah. Go ahead.
No value. Actually, we actually should do that.
It would probably be like their intern that answers the email and is like, sweet.
But they don't have any Starbucks. Like, motherfuckers.
No, I'm pretty sure in Santiago. They do. In Santiago, they would have it. Yeah.
We'll get one for Caribou.
Stop.
Caribou coffee Stop. In Columbus.
Stop.
Here's a Timmy Ho's gift card.
All right.
I also recommend this highly. I don't know how I would describe it as easy, but I think if you're a cab drinker, you're going to like this.
I thought that too myself.
I'm sorry. I was just whistling.
You're probably right, though.
I feel like Scott is me tonight.
He's the Bulgarian judge. He's just good at Greco-Roman wrestling for some strange reason.
Yeah, he's like the Romanian gymnastics judge. Yeah,
it's all hot.
I did
up
watch the show. Original Borat the other night, freaking naked wrestling scene.
And you're like, and Deb's like, Scott, quit pausing it.
She would not get through that movie. It's so funny.
Scott, you can move on.
It's so funny.
Scott, I don't want to watch it again.
All right, let's
89 of my points.
How many?
89 of my points.
You're
I love this. It's just not.
You're an ass clown.
It just doesn't get a 9. It's just not quite there. There's nothing spectacular about it. It has all the parts. It has all the moving parts. It's really good. I love it.
This must be what it feels like when I'm Russian judging.
Well,
I think
you
this
do it just to be an antagonist. Scott just does it because he didn't know any better.
I feel like this has been really good insight into my own self. Go ahead.
Okay, this wine does check all the boxes, which is a vulgar way of saying it's excellent. The wine starts off as being excellent because it does everything a cab should do, and the best thing it does is it makes you forget that it's from Chile. We've already said this.
Now you're shaming again.
I'm going to shame you. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, it has richness. It's full-bodied. The fruit is excellent. It has wonderful tannin. It's long enough. Everything else is enough. The question is, would I buy it again? And the answer to that is, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Now, everybody else would too, because it's out of stock. But, you know, whatever. It also makes me move on to the next thing. Do I think this wine is special in some sense? And in fact, I do. Because what is the biggest compliment to a wine? Saying that you would expect it to be worth twice what it is. Also, if you say, you know, the most delicious dinner we've had in a while, wouldn't this wine be good with that? That is suggesting this wine does have presence. It has provenance of some sort. And it's special in and of itself because you would want to include it in your special moment.
Okay.
That's why it gets 91 of my points.
Oh my gosh, I flipped your and Scott's scores. I can't believe that.
I got you and Scott perfectly.
Really?
Yes, and it goes into the Wine Vault Hall of Fame. Not the Value Prize Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree.
It goes into the Hall of Fame.
Ah, you put us down both for 90s.
So that means, folks,
how did you know Scott was going to be a Russian judge tonight?
Because he's an asshole. I guessed. Now, okay, so Becky, what did you
Let's
guess
see
us
your
as?
Written down. Let's
I had mine opposite. I had Rob 89, Scott 91.
Now, so Becky had Scott 91, yeah. Me an 89. Scott, you had?
90.
Two 90s. And I had Scott at an 89 and Becky at a 90 because I'm brilliant. That means...
I think you wrote it down after we scored it.
Nope. That means I will be the next judge. I am the judge of integrity on this show. Just to point that out. Just like to point that out. This the wine that does go in the Hall of Fame. And quite frankly, right now, it's the best version of a Chilean Cabernet we've done.
Mm-hmm. On the show.
On the show. Or off the show. What Chilean Cabernets have you had that are better?
I know. What's he holding out on us?
What have you had?
I thought you guys had the from Garage, the cab that was...
That was Pais. Mm. It's not Cabernet. They don't make a Cabernet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, think about this. Comparables to this. The Alpatagua Gran Reserva, the Gran Inverno. Very good. We like it a lot. We just ordered some more. This is better than that.
No. Is it? That's what I was
going
to say. This is better than the Alpatagua.
Yes, it's better than Alpatagua.
Okay.
I like Alpatagua, but Alpatagua is not a full-bodied wine. Even the Gran Reserva, it didn't quite get the full-bodied. It didn't have the body of this wine. Catena, it's Argentinian, but they're Cabernet. It's good. I like it. It's very nice. Not as good as this. This wine, though, is more Cali in style. So, folks, that's one thing. It is more Cali than it is French.
By far.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that because they do it well. Tip of the cap to Baron Philippe de Rothschild. Not that you needed the tip because you own the cap. So, whatever. And Lafitte, you suck because you make Los Vasquez.
Ow.
Right now, they're like, those motherfuckers. They have Los Vasquez. Well, hey, whatever. So, a 91, a 90, a dipshit. And
hey, I call it like I see it.
Good thing there's a dog down here to help you.
Good Lord, a 91 through 89.
And I would give it a 90 to 93. No, I would not.
No, you would not. You're overscoring it at 91.
That's not the point. I would give it an 89 to 91.
There you go, because that's what it is.
But I would give it a top of the mark 91. I would say 90.5, which is a 91, because I round up. And I knew he was going to give it an 89, so I had to counterbalance him.
So I'm
the Canadian. I'm the Canadian judge.
So you're the Canadian judge of integrity.
I feel like everybody needs to get more encouragement, so I give them a little higher score to make them feel better. So
that's just the definition of integrity if I've ever heard it.
It is, eh? For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.